Bottom Itmar. In the previous Gemara, the Gemara discussed the question about whether the kever of a mace, the actual grave itself, becomes usher because it is serving the mess. The Gemara brought there that because it is karka oilam, it's merely part of the earth itself, that it does not become usher. That Gemara and the coming Gemara are based on the halacha that the mace himself and anything which serves him is usher b'hanoah. The source for this is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that's Chof Tes Omid Beis, where the Gemara learns from a Gezeira Shava, Sham from Egla Arufa, that a mace itself is Osir B'hanoah, and we learn also that that which serves the mace is Osir B'hanoah. So if it be the casket, the shrouds, or the kever, in a case where it's not Karka Oilam, as the Gemara mentioned before, they all become Osir B'hanoah. Our Gemara here discusses a question: what if something was designated for use of the mess? So it was designated to be a mishamish, to be something which will serve the mess, but it was not yet used. Does it become aser b'hano or not? Says the Gemara Itmar, we learned a machloikis, ha'oireg beged l'meis. If someone weaves a beged, a garment, for a mace, and Rashi says this means after the person died, now they wove a garment for his use, to bury him in. Abaya Omar Osir. Abaya says that this is forbidden. For Rava Omar Mutter, and Rava says that since it was not yet actually used for the mace, that it is still Mutter. And the Gemara explains, Abaya Omar Osir Hazmana Milsehi. Abaya says that this is forbidden already, even before it was used, because Hazmana, the designation of the item for use for the mace, is considered to be something that already makes it Meshamshe Hemes, and immediately it becomes Osir Bahanoah. For Rava Omar Mutter, Hazmana Lav Milsehi. Rava holds that this is still permitted since it was not yet actually used for the mace, because Hazmana designating it alone for this use is still nothing. That does not make it Meshamshe mace, and it does not become Osir Bahano. Again, as Rashi says, we're speaking about a case where the designation was made after the person died. And in such a case, the bayah holds that since it's designated for this mess, it becomes Osir Bahano, even though it was not yet used for its service of the mess. And according to Rav, the Hazmana is Lav Milsa until it's actually used for that purpose. It does not become Osir Bahano. Says the Gemara, my time of the Abaya, what's the reason of Abaya? Why does Abaya hold that as mona milsa, that alone after that it becomes misham shemes? Gomar sham me egla arufa. He learns the reshava of sham from egla arufa. Concerning mes, it says that Thomas sham Miriam, that Miriam died there, so the word sham refers to mes. And it says concerning egla arufa, the orfu sham es ha egla banachal, that they will break the neck of the egla in the nachal, in the valley, sham there. So it uses the same word sham. So we learn agzeira shava. In fact, the Gemara Avodah Zarah says that this is the source of the isra hanah of the mace. And Abaya takes this further and learns from there, ma egla rufa bahazmana mitzra, that just as concerning egla rufa, it becomes usr merely by being designated for use as the egla rufa, even before the actual arifa is done, before breaking the neck of this calf, it becomes usr, as Rashi brings, merely by bringing it into the nachal eisen, to the place where this will be done. So this is considered to be hazmana. It's merely designated for that purpose, and it becomes usr. Hainami bahazmana mitzra. So concerning a mace also, we say that it becomes usr through hazmana, by designating for that purpose. So if something is designated for the purpose of serving the mess, it immediately becomes osir b'hanoah. V'rava gomar sham me'avodas kechavim. Rava learns the gzereshava of sham from avodas zara. Again, here it says that Thomas sham Miriam, and concerning avodas zara, it says asher avdu sham hagoyim, speaking about the destroying of items that were used for avodas zara, as the Gemara will say, and it uses the word sham. So from there we learn ma'avodas kechavim b'hazmana le'mitzra, just as concerning avodas kechavim, merely by designating something for use for the avodah zarah. We're not speaking about worshipping something. We're speaking about designating for use to serve the avodah zarah, something which will be used as an auxiliary, as some kind of service to the avodah zarah. And there we say that hazmana does not make it osir. As Rashi says, if a person says this house or this shore should be for the avodah zarah, it does not become osir, because there's no such thing as hektish for avodah zarah. It only becomes osir if he actually uses it to service the avodah zarah. Af hochanami behazmana le'mitzra. Then here too, concerning mess, we say that something which is merely designated to serve the mess does not become osir. So therefore, Abaya says, since he learns from Egla Rufa that if it is designated for this use of a mess, it becomes osir b'hanoah. And Rava says, since he learns from Avodah Zarah that designation for the use for a mace does not asur it b'hanoah until it is actually used for the mace, as is the case in Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara of Rava, my time only gomer mi egla rufa. What is the reason that Rava does not learn it from egla rufa? If this is the gzereshava of Shom, why doesn't he learn it from egla arufa? And especially as Tosfos mentioned, we learn the isra hanoah from egla arufa. The Gemara says, omar lach, that Rava would tell you, daf memches, mishamshin mi mishamshin gamrinon, that there is a svara to learn something which is an auxiliary, which is served serving something else from something which is serving something else. Lafuki egla rufa dihi gufa kedoisha. To exclude learning from egla rufa that it itself is something which is holy, in other words, which is actually the item itself, which is the holy item itself. In other words, what Rav is saying is it makes more sense to learn this question of whether the mishamshim become osir upon designation, or whether they only become osir when they are used from a Vedas Zohar, because there also we're dealing with mishamshim. As Rashi says, that pasuk of Yabdu Sham Hagoyim is speaking about mishamshim Avodah Zarah, things which are used to serve, to service the Avodah Zarah. So if over there we say that merely by designation it does not become osir, we say here also that it doesn't become osir by designation, and this Sfarah tells us not to learn from Egla Rufa, where there we're not dealing with the same kind of question. We're not dealing with something which is an auxiliary to something else. With mishamshim, it's a question of Egla Rufa itself, when the Egla Rufa is considered to be the Egla Rufa and it becomes osir b'hanah. So therefore it's more similar and should be learned from Avodah Zarah. The Abaya, my time will go from Avodah Kechavim. Why does Abaya not learn from Avodah Kechavim? He learned the word Sham from Avodah Kechavim, that it does not become Osir with Hazmana. Amalach, Abaya would tell you, Midi de Urche, Midi de Urche Gamrinan, Lafuk Avodah Kechavim, the Lav Urcha. That it makes more sense to learn something which is used in an ordinary way, in a way that it should be used, namely something which is designated for a mace, from something which is also being used in the way that it should, Eglar Rufa, rather than to learn from Avodah Zarah, which is something which should not be done. It's lav urcha, it's not the derech, it's not something that should be done at all. Avodah Zarah is, of course, an aveira, even for a nochri, and therefore, the designating something for Avodah Zarah is something which is lav urcha, is something which should not be done, and therefore, it's a svara that we should not learn from there. That even though in the case of Avodah Zarah, the hazmana does not answer it, here we'll say that we learn from Egla Rufa that the hazmana, the designation alone, does answer an item which is used to service the mace. And Rashi adds a svar. He says, since Avodah Zarah is an aveira, and even for a ben noyach it's an aveira, that's why the Torah said that the hazmana doesn't make it osir. Because we say, perhaps, since it is an aveira, in the end it won't be done. Merely designating it for the use, for the service of Avodah Zarah is not enough. Since Avodah Zarah is an aveira, we say that perhaps in the end it won't actually be used for that use. Well, until it's actually used, the Torah said that it does not become osir. But concerning an item which is being used in the way that it should be used, designating to service a mace, or designating something for Egla Rufa, there we say that once the designation is made, that the item actually becomes osir. So that is the machloikas between Abaya and Rav. The Gemara now continues with a number of proofs to this question. Says the Gemara Meisvei. The Gemara asks the Kasha on the sheet of Rava that has mono lav milsa. We learn kippa shehu tomei medris. A kippa is a kerchief which is tomei tumas medris. Now tomei tumas medris means that if a zov or zova leans on it, sits on it, stands on it, that it becomes tomei medris. Now only an item which is fit for medris, which is used for such a purpose, either to lie on or to sit on, but receives this strict tuma of tumas medris. The item which is tomei tumas medris has a very strict tuma. It can either be metamei odom vekelim as opposed to something which was merely touched by a zov. However, it's only concerning an item which is normally used in this way, used for such a purpose, for a purpose of either lying on or sitting on. If it's an item which is not used for such a use at all, and incidentally a zov did stand or sit on it or lean on it, it does not receive tumas medris. Such an item is not liable to receive tumas medris. So it says that a kippah, a kerchief which is normally worn on the head by a woman, shehu tomei medris, which is tomei medris, and the kippah receives tumas medris because sometimes a woman will fold it and sit on it, or as Rashi says, also sometimes she leans her head on it, therefore it's considered to be something which is used for such a purpose, and it became tomei through tumas medris, a zov, for example, sat on it, or a zova. And then she gave it for use for a Sefer Torah. She's no longer going to use it as a kerchief. She gave it to be used to wrap a Sefer Torah. Now, once it's going to be used for wrapping the Sefer Torah, then it won't be an item which is used for medris anymore. It's used for wrapping the Sefer Torah. If someone will want to sit on it, they will say, "Amoizan asam lachtenu, stand up, we need it for something else, we need it for the Sefer Torah." So such an item is no longer liable to receive tumas medris. So she gave it for that purpose. So the halacha is tohar min hamedris, that it becomes tohar from this tumas medris, even though it was already tomei before. The zava had already sat on it before, and it became tomei tumas medris. By designating it for use for the Sefer Torah and making it no longer an item which is used for medris, it actually will become tohar from the tumas medris, because it's no longer an item which can be tomei with this tuma chamura of medris. Aval tomei maga medris, but it will remain with the tuma, with the lighter tuma of something which touched medris. something which is actually Tomei Tumas Medrash is a much more Tumah Chamur, it's a much stricter Tumah. It can even be Metamei Odom Mekalim. Something which has a din of Maga Medrash, something which has touched something which is Tomei Tumas Medrash, that's an ordinary Rishon LeTumah, and it cannot be Metamei Odom Mekalim. So this Mishnah in Kalim is saying then that although by being designated now for the use of wrapping a Sefer Torah, it's no longer an item which can be used for Medrash. However, it is still a Kli, it still has a din of a Kli, it's still a vessel, it's still something which is used, so therefore we say that it loses its Tumas Medrash, even if it was Tumah before, it will lose this strict Tumah of Tumas Medrash, and will only have now the Tumah as if it had been something which had touched Medrash, because it is considered to have touched itself. When it was still Tumah Tumas Medrash, it so to speak touched itself, and therefore it retains the Tumah of something which touched Medrash, because any Kli which touches something which is Tumah Tumas Medrash becomes Tumah Maga Medrash, and becomes a Rishon LeTumah, which is a Tumah which cannot be Metameh Adam V'Kalim. Al-Kopanim, what do we see from here? That merely by designating it for use for the Sefer Torah, it loses its previous status. It's no longer considered to be a Kli which is royal in Medrash, which is fit for Medrash, and rather it becomes something new. It's not considered to be the Mishamish, the thing which is serving the Sefer Torah. Just as Nosnosa was Sefer, it wasn't yet used. So we see a Raya to Abaya that has Mana Milsahi. By designating it for its new use, it is immediately considered to be the Mishamish for its new use. The Gemara says, Eima nasnasoi v'karchosei, that in order to answer Rava, we can say that it means that it was given for this use, and actually she wrapped the Sefer Torah in it. It was actually used for it. Although the Mishnah doesn't mention it, but that's what it means. It was given for that purpose, and it was actually used for that purpose. The Gemara asks, Lomali nasnasoi v'karchosei. Once you say that it's speaking about that it was already used for that purpose, then why does it have to say that it was given for that purpose, and used, and wrapped, and it was used to wrap the Sefer Torah? The Gemara understood that once it was used for that purpose, that should be enough to give it now the status of the Mishamish of the Sefer Torah so that it should lose its Tumas Medrash. The Gemara answers, Kid Rav Chista. That is like the halakha of Rav Chista. That from Rav Chista we see that merely by using it for something, if it's not specifically designated for that use, that alone does not give it a new status. The Amar Rav Chista said, Hai Sudra, that's also a kind of a kerchief, the Azmanei Lemeitzer Bei Tfilin, that he designated it to tie Tfilin in, to use to hold the Tfilin, Vitzor Bei Tfilin, and he did actually use it for holding the tefillin. Also, lemeitzabei pshiti, then he is not allowed to use it to bind money, because now it becomes a mishamish for the tefillin, a mishamish for this kedusha, and he is not allowed to use it for something which is chol, he's not allowed to use it to bind money. However, azmanei veloitzarbe, if he merely designated it for that use, but he didn't yet use it, he didn't yet use it to bind the tefillin, or tzarbe veloy azmanei, or if he did use it to bind the tefillin, but he never designated it for that use, he merely took it and he tied the tefillin with it, he used it for the tefillin, but he didn't say he wants to use it for that purpose from now on, shori lemeitzarbe pshite, then it is permissible to use it later on to bind money, because it does not become mishamshei kedusha by hazmana alone, because Rav Chista holds like Rava that hazmana lav milse, nor does it become mishamshei kedusha merely by using it for that purpose if there was no hazmana, if there was no designation to use it always for that purpose. What the Gemara is proving from Rav Chista is that we answered Rava in that Mishnah in Kalim by saying that it's being whether it was actually used to wrap the Sefer Torah. The question was, if it was asked, so why does it say nasnasa? Why did it have to be given for that purpose? The Gemara is proving from Rav Chista that merely using it for something, we still say that this is only arai, as Rashi says. This is only an incidental use. Unless he specifically says that from now on he's designating for that purpose, merely by using it, we can still say that this is only something incidental, something arai, something temporary, and that therefore it does not become a mishamish, it doesn't become something in the service of the next item, and does not change and fix upon it a new status. So that's what we're proving from Rav Chista. Rav Chista also holds like Rava and says that merely designating it is not enough, because Rav Chista holds that hazmona lav milsa. Ula Abaya, the Omer, hazmona milsa, according to Abaya, who says that designating something alone makes it aser, then the halacha will not be exactly as Rav Chista said. He will agree with Rav Chista that merely using it doesn't aser it, but he will say that azmanei afagav deloy sarbe, that if he designated for the use of tefillin, even if he didn't actually yet use it to bind the tefillin, it will be aser. Sarbe, but if he merely used it, e azmanei ain. If he designated it, then it will be aser, because that itself asers it. Eloy azmanei le, but if he didn't designate it for that use and say that he's going to use it from now on for tefillin, then merely by using it to bind the tefillin, to wrap the tefillin in, that would not aser, because we say that this can only be a temporary use, and therefore this alone does not make it into mishamshei kedusha. So we have a chiddush then from this Gemara. We learn the machlokes between Rav and Abaye whether the hazmana alone asers. From here we see that everyone agrees that hazmana is necessary to Asa, that without hazmana, merely by using it for a purpose of Kedusha, or merely by using it for a mace, that it would not become Asa unless it was actually designated for that use. The Ran, Chidush Ran, whoever points out, and this is brought by the Poskim as well, that this is speaking about a case where at the time that he used it, he didn't specifically have in mind to use it always for that purpose. He took the Suder and he wrapped the tefillin in it, but he didn't specifically have in mind that he will actually from now on use it for that purpose. If he has in mind at the time that he wrapped the tefillin in it the first time, he took the kerchief and he said, now I'm going to wrap the tefillin in it, and he decides that that's what he's going to use it for from now on, that certainly is considered to be the biggest hazmana. It's hazmana and use at the same time, and everyone will agree that it becomes Meshamshei Kedusha, that it will become, also that it will enter into its new status of Meshamshem of the Tefillin. It's only in a case where he merely uses it without specific machshava, without actually thinking that from now on he'll use it for that purpose, that we say that merely by using it, it doesn't become also. But if at the time that he uses it, he decides that he will always use it for that purpose, then we have simultaneously the hazmana and the use, and that will be Otzer l'kula alma. Says the Gemara, Toshma. The Gemara now brings another raya that hazmana alone asers, nefesh shebonoi l'shem chai muter. It says that a nefesh is a building which is built above a kever, it's like an extension of the kever, what we refer to as an ohel, above the kever. If he built it for someone who is still alive, to be used for that person when he will die, then mutter bahana. That's mutter bahana, as we learned before, for something to be osur, because it is serving a mace, is only if that person is actually a mess. If it's built for the purpose of being used after he dies, but in the meantime he's alive, it does not become osur, so it's mutter bahana. Hoisif boi dimus echod l'shei mace, osur bahana. If he added one row of stones for the purpose, for use for the mess after the person died, then osur bahana, then it becomes osur bahana, because this already was done after the person was dead. So this was already designated for use for the mess, and it becomes osur. So l'chayr, this is like a bayit. It says that merely adding this row of stones makes it osur, even before the mace was placed in the kever. This is a raya against Rava. Says the Gemara, Hocha b'mayaskin and derama b'mace. That will say that what are we speaking about over here? That actually a mace was placed in the kever. That it means that a mace was in the kever. He added a row of stones, and a mace was placed in the kever. Then it becomes osur b'hana. The Gemara asks, Hochi my ear yehoisif kiloy hoisif nami. If so, then why does it say only if he now added something for the mace? Even if he didn't add anything for the mace right now, it should automatically be osur because the mace is there. And the Gemara is saying that while the mace is there, it should certainly be osur. If the mace is there and this is serving him, it should certainly be osur now, according to everyone, even though we learned before that merely using it doesn't alter it. But at the time that the mace is there, certainly it should be osur for anything else. The Gemara says, Lo tzricha afagav d'panya, that this is necessary for a case after the mace was removed. We're speaking about that it should remain osur b'hana, even if the mace is removed. Of course, while the mace is there, it's osur. But we're speaking about whether this nefesh, this part of the kever, will remain osur even if the mace is removed. And in that we say that if it was designated for use for the mace, that after the mace died, they added a row of stones for the sake of the mace, and according to Rava, if the mace was actually placed there, then we say that this is considered to be Misham Shem Mace, and it will always remain osur. According to Abaya, merely by adding the row of stones, that's considered to be a designation for the mace. Even before the mace was placed there, it immediately will become osur bahano. Omer Rav from Bar Papa, Omer Rav Chista. Rav from Bar Papa said in the name of Rav Chista, Im hoye makiroi cholzoi umutr. If he recognizes this particular row of stones which was added after the death of the person for the sake of the mess, then cholzoi, he can take away this row of stones and mutr. The remainder of this nefesh, the remainder of this, will be mutr. Since this entire nefesh was made when the person was still alive, it is not considered to be Misham Shemes. It's only this row of stones which is considered to be Misham Shemes, because that which he did to this row of stones is only considered to be a mice, it's only considered to be an action in the row itself, and therefore it alone becomes osur. But the rest of the nefesh, which was there already from before, even though they placed a mess in it, but if the mess was taken away, if you can take away this additional row of stones, then the rest of it will become mutter, because nothing was done to it after the death of this person, and therefore it was never considered to be designated for the mess. Now the Chiddush Iran proves from this Gemara that our entire Gemara, which speaks about hazmana, doesn't mean merely designating it verbally for that purpose. It actually means doing some kind of maisa, doing some kind of action to designate it for that purpose. Because we see that from this Gemara. We see concerning this nefesh, although it was built and made for use for this person when he was still alive. But once he died and they added this extra row of stones, then the entire nefesh was designated for the use, for the sake of this mess. Not only the additional row of stones, but the entire nefesh was designated for his use. It was meant to be used altogether for the mess. And still we say that it's only the row of stones which is considered to be also, which is considered to be designated for the mace, and therefore remains also even though the mace is taken away. Why is this so? If we say that hazmana would be merely by deed or merely by verbally designating something for the purpose, then it becomes also that the designation was made not only on this row of stones, it was made on the entire nefesh. The answer is, says the Chiddush Iran, that we see from this, that it's only with a mace, only if some kind of action of designation was made. And that is only the row of stones. Only there was there some kind of action of designation. The rest of the nefesh, which was already built from before when the person was still alive, there was no mice, there was no action which was made upon it to designate it for use for the mace. Merely adding a row of stones is only considered to be an action on the row of stones, but not on the rest of the nefesh. Akoponim, we see, says the Chiddush Iran, that there has to be some kind of mice of designation made in order for it to be considered to be hazmona. It's mashma that way also from the very beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara talks about oireg beged lemeis, someone who wove a beged for the sake of a mess. The person has died and now they're weaving a beged for him. Why does it say that he wove the beged for the mace? Why doesn't it just say that they took a beged for the mace, that they decided to use the beged for a mace, and that itself should be considered to be hazmona, and the question is whether it becomes osur before actually being used or not? Why does it mention the ariga weaving it for that purpose? Again, says the Ram, we see from this that it's only with an action that is considered to be hazmona, that it's considered to be designated for this use. The Ran, however, points out that we have a contradiction to this from the previous Gemara. The Gemara talked about nosnosoi l'sefer, in the case of the keeper of this kerchief, which is now given for use for the Sefer Torah. It says that if it was given for use for the Sefer Torah, so what was done, it doesn't say that it was made for that purpose, it merely says that it was given for that purpose. And that alone is considered to be hazmana, and that's why we say, according to Abaye, that it would come immediately osur, and according to Rava, once it's used, it would become osur, because that is considered to be hazmana. So from this, we see, apparently, that we don't need an actual ma'isa. It's not that an action has to be done to designate it for that use, but merely setting it aside for that purpose is considered to be hazmana. So the Chiddush Iran and Tosfos both deal with this question at length, and they both come to a similar conclusion. And that is somewhere in between, that merely saying that it's going to be used for that purpose is not enough. However, we don't need a real ma'isa, we don't need a real action of designation. If it's a ma'isa koldehu, if there's some kind of action done to designate it for that purpose, beyond merely saying that it should be used for that purpose, then that is considered to be hazmana, and according to Abai, it will be osur immediately, and according to Rava, it will remain osur if he does use it. It will be considered to be something which was muzman, which was designated, and then used. And there is one difference between the Ran and Tosis, and that is that the Ran learns that Nosnosa was sefer means that she actually gave it to the Gaboyim for use for the Sefer Torah. That's why it's considered to be somewhat of an action. It wasn't made for that purpose, but it was at least given to the Gaboyim for that purpose, and therefore that's a Maisa Koldehu, that's something of an action, and that's considered to be Hazmana. Tosis takes it even a step further and says that merely by picking up the item and saying that he wants to use it for that purpose, that alone is considered to be a Maisa Koldehu. So that itself is considered to be Hazmana. Merely thinking it or saying it wouldn't be hazmana at all, says Tosfos. But if some action is made, if he picks it up and says that he wants to use it for that purpose from now on, that he's designating it for that use, that's considered to be hazmana. That what it says in the beginning of the Gemara, oireg, that if it was woven, wants to tell us a chiddush, even though it was actually woven for that purpose, still Rava holds that it does not become osur. But we don't need such an important, such a great ma'isa as actually making it for that purpose. If a ma'isa called to, if a small action of designation was made, that would be considered to be hazmana. But the ma'isa called to, this small action is necessary for it to be considered hazmana, and that's why in this case of the nefesh, the part which was actually made before the person died, and after he died, absolutely nothing was done to it to designate it for use for the mace. There was only a row of stones which was added to it. That's only an action the new row, but the rest remained as it was. Since there was no action done, it is not considered to be muzman. It's not considered to be designated for the use of the mace, and therefore if he can remove the new row of stones, and the mess was removed from this kever, the rest of it will remain mutter. So that is the maskana then of the Ran and of Tosfos, that based on this apparent contradiction in the Gemara, that hazmana, merely by thought or by speech, is not considered to be hazmana. Some ma'isa is necessary, but it doesn't have to be that the item is actually produced for that purpose. If a ma'isa koldu, even a small action of hazmana, of designation, takes place, that is considered to be hazmana. According to Abaye, it will be usher immediately, and according to Rava, since there is this hazmana, we'll say that once it is used for that purpose, that it will always remain usher. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, another proof. Hachoysev kever la'aviv, if someone digs a kever, a grave for his father, v'holach v'kover b'kever achar, and then he went and he buried his father someplace else. So the kever remained empty. Harezeh lo yikover boi oilomis. He should not be buried in it ever. That he should not use it for himself. The Gemara understood that this is because it was designated for a specific mace, for his father, and therefore it remains also for any other hana, and that's why he can't be buried in it. So this is a raya to Abaya. It was merely dug for the mace, but the mace was not buried in it at all, and we say that it remains also. The Gemara answers, Hosam Yishum Kvayd Ovid. Over there is a different halacha. Over there is because of the honor of his father. It's a specific halacha, not for someone else, specifically between a father and son. Since he designated it for his father, he can't use it because this is not honor for his father. So it has nothing to do with the halacha of hazmona. Hochinami mistabra, it's mistabra that that's the pshat in this halacha, tiktoni sefer, because we learned in the sefer, Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, af hachoytziv avonim la'aviv, even if he merely quarried stones for his father, he quarried the stones to make a kever for his father, and he didn't even actually make the kever yet, v'holach v'kover b'mokam achar, and then he went and he buried him someplace else, harezeh l'yikover b'hen olam, that he is not allowed to use these stones ever for his own burial. It's good if you say that the reason for this issa is not because it became Misham Shem Meis, but rather because it is an inyan of Kvod Aviv, of honor for his father, then it's good. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we take this so far that even if he just quarried the stones for that purpose, since it's for his father, he shouldn't use it for himself. Eli Yamrit Mishum Hazmana, if you'll say that we're talking about the Isr because of Hazmana, because it was designated for the mace, and that's why it can't be used for someone else. Tvi La Riga Mi Ikal Mandu Omar, is there anyone who holds that if Tvi means woven threads, which were set aside for weaving, and in other words, he set aside the threads to weave something for a mess, but it wasn't ready in its present form to be used for the mace. He set aside the spinned thread to be used to weave the shrouds for the mace. Is there anyone who holds that that becomes also because of the Isra of Hazmana? Certainly the Isra of Hazmana only applies to something which can be used as it is for the mace. Then it is considered to be, according to Abaya, once it's designated for that use, it's considered to be Misham Shem Meis. But no one would say that if it can't be used in its present form, that that's called Misham Shem Meis, that's called something which is serving the mace. If he merely set aside the threads to make a beged for the mace, that certainly would not be also. So why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that if he merely took the stones and made and wanted to make a kever from them for his father, that should become also? This is a proof that the Isser here is not because of the din of Hazmana, but rather because of Kvod Aviv. Continues the Gemara Toshma, and this time the Gemara is bringing a proof to Rav's Shita that Hazmana lav milsa. It says, Kever Chodosh Mutter Bahano, that a new grave is Mutter Bahano, Hitul by Nefel Osir Bahano. If he placed in the Kever even a Nefel, even an aborted fetus, it becomes Osir Bahano. The Gemara is Medayak, Hitul in, Loi Hitul Loi, that only if he placed the Nefel in the Kever, it was actually used for him, it becomes Osir Bahano, but if he didn't yet use it for the Nefel, if it wasn't yet used, then it does not become Osir Bahano. So Rashi explains that the proof is from this second part of the sentence of the Braisa, which says Hitul b'nefel Osir Bahano, because the beginning of the Braisa, which says Kever Chodesh Mutar Bahano, could be speaking about a case where the Kever was built during the person's lifetime, when the person who was buried in it was still alive, and that's why it does not become Osir. But from the second part of this Braisa, which says Hitul b'nefel Osir Bahano, the Gemara is Medayet, that it's only because it was actually used for the Nefel, but if it hadn't been used for the Nefel, then there's no way that it would become Osir Bahano. So this would apparently be telling us that it can never become Osir through merely Hazmana by designating it for that purpose, even if it was built after the death of this Nefel. Only really by using it would it become Osir Bahano. So this is a Raya to Rava. The Gemara says, Hu adin di avogav d'lo hito, that we can say that the same halacha would apply also if it was built for this purpose after the death of the Nefel, then it would become Osir, even though he didn't actually place the Nefel in the kever. Why does it say Hitul boy Nefel? It wants to tell us this case, Lafukim yid Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. This comes to exclude, the point of the Brisa is to exclude from the sheet of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Omer Eilin Nefolim Tvisa Sakever, that he says that a Nefel, an aborted fetus, does not grab a kever. In other words, that in which he is buried is not considered to be a kever to be Osir Bahanoah. Kamash Malon, that's the point of the Brisa, and telling us that this is not so. So that's why the Brisa put it in such a way that he's a boy Nathan. So that is the point that the Braisa is making. Not that we should learn from the Braisa that it's only with Hitul by Nefel that the only time that it will become Osir is if it was actually used. It means to stress that Hitul by Nefel, even though it was used for a Nefel, it still becomes Osir Bahana. So the first part of the Braisa, which says that the Kever Chodesh is Mutter, means if this Kever was made during the Nathal, while the Nathal was still living, or in case of a mace, before the mace actually died, then we say that it does not become Osir. That's the Kever Chodosh. Hitul by Nathal, it becomes Osir, but this is not because it wants that we should be Medayek, that it's only through Hitul by Nathal that it can ever become Osir, but really rather to tell us this halacha, that a Nathal also will make this considered to be a Kever, and it will become Osir Bahanoh. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, and this is once again a proof to Rava, Moiser HaMesim LeMesim. It says that that which is left over from Tzedakah, which was collected for Mesim, the Tzedakah was collected for the purpose of burying Mesim, Mesim Mitzvah, Mesim who are very poor, and they have leftover money, LeMesim. It should be used for the same purpose. They should set it aside for other Mesim who need this Tzedakah money for their burial. This is Halacha Hilchos Tzedakah. Since it was collected for that purpose, they shouldn't use it for something else. Rather, it should still be used for that purpose. Moiser HaMes LeYarshav. If there was leftover money from money that was collected for a particular mace to bury, take care of the burial needs of a particular mace, then that leftover money goes to his yarshim. It is considered to be, to belong to him, and it is inherited by his yarshim. So we see here that this mace or hamace, even though this money was collected and set aside for the mace, that it goes to his yorshim and can be used by them. We don't say that it becomes also bahanah because it was designated for the purpose of serving the mace. So we see like Rava that merely through hazmana, by being designated for that purpose, it does not become osir bahanoah. Tosfos and the Chiddush HaRan point out that l'chayra, if what they collected is money, that in any case should not become osir bahanoah, even according to Abaya, because it's not something which could actually itself be used for the mess. As the Gemara said before, if it's not the item itself which can be used for the mace, if it was merely threads from which they are going to make shrouds for the mace, that does not become osir, even according to Abaya, that's not considered to be hazmana milsa. So Tosfos says in the first Pshat on the Chiddush HaRan that it can be speaking about a case of even, the Gemara understood that it means even a case where they actually collected cloth which would be used for the mace himself. And they had extra that it too goes to the Yorshim, even though there we should say that Hazmana Milsa, that since it was designated for the use of the mace, that it should be Osir. Tosfos says in the second Teretz that money is different because money is readily changeable into anything else, is considered to be something which itself can be used for the mace and would have a halacha of Meshamshem Mace. Al-Kopanim, from the first Pshat on Tosfos says, because it's speaking about where they collected cloth which would be used for the mace itself, and from there we see that it does not become also through the hasmana since it was never used for the mace. The Gemara answers, we can say that this is speaking about a case where it was collected during the person's lifetime for use for his burial when he will die. And that's why it does not become osir. Hazmana is only after the person died. And that's why it doesn't become osir. So that's what Abaye will say. The Gemara says, that we can't learn pshat that way because we didn't learn that way in a Mishnah. At the time we learned in a Mishnah Shkolim, that which is left over from what was collected for the burial needs of Mesim is for other Mesim. That which is left over from that which was collected for a particular mace is goes to his yarshim. V'toni alo, and we learn in a brisa on this mishnah. Ketzad, how is this so? Gavu lemeisim stam zehu moiser hamesim lemeisim. If they collected it for mesim in general, not for a specific mace, that's the halacha of moiser hamesim lemeisim. It doesn't go to anyone's yarshim. To the contrary, it's kept for other mesim. Gavu lemeisim, they collected it for this dead person zehu moiser hamesim yarshim. That's where we say the halacha that which is left over from that which was collected for this mace, then it goes to his yarshim. So it says explicitly that it was Gavu LeMeizeh that they collected for this dead person. They didn't collect it while he was alive. They collected it when he was already dead. So this, again, according to Abaye, we should have said that it's Osir Bahanoah and that his Yorshim can't take it because it was designated for the use of the mace. According to Abaye, that has Mona Milsa, it should be Osir Bahanoah. Once again, according to Tosfos, in the first Teretz, if what they collected is cloth which was going to be used itself for the mace, according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, even if they collected money for the use of the mace, since money is changeable into something else very easily, that itself we would apply the halacha of hazmana milsa. It's considered like something which can be used by the mace. Says the Gemara, v'litaymech, and according to your shita, Rava, who says that hazmana lav milsa, that merely designating it for use for the mace does not make it osir bahanoah. And that's why the Yorshim can keep it and use it. Ema Seifa, I'll bring you a kasha from the Seifa. Rabbi Meir Omer, lo yiga behen atshiyove aliyo. Rabbi Meir disagrees with the shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Meir says that he shouldn't touch it until Eliyahu Navi comes and says what to do with it, that there's a sotik here, whether it should be taken by the Yorshim and used by them, or whether it has to be used specifically for the mace himself and for nothing else. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, Yasenu Dimas al Kivra, Oizilu Fosnemi Tosai, that it has to be used for the mace himself. He can use it to make an additional row of stones on the kever of the mace. Or Zilu Fosnemi Tosai, that means to pour out wine, to create a fragrance before the deathbed, before the mita of this mace. In other words, it must be used for the mace himself, and the Yorshim do not get it. So we have a three-way machloikis here. The Tanakhama said that it goes to the Yorshim. Rabbi Nosson said that it has to be used for the mace himself. And Rabbi Meir said that we're in doubt whether it should be to the Yorshim or for the mace himself, and therefore lo yikob, but no one can use it unless the Yorshim agrees that it be used for the mace himself. No one can use it at all. Ad Shiyovai Eliyahu. So Abaya, so to speak, is answering Rava l'taimeich, that you say that hasmona lav milsa. Why do we see that these other mandiyomrim say that there is a question of isir? We see that it's a machloikis. Ella rather says the Gemara Abaya mitaris l'taimei v'rova mitaris l'taimei. Abaya, who holds hazmona milsa, will answer this entire machloikis, all the shitas according to his shita, and Rava will answer all the shitas according to his own shita of hazmona lav milsa. Abaya mitaris l'taimei. Abaya will explain this machloikis according to his shita that hazmona milsa. The kuli alma hazmona milsa. Everyone agrees that hazmona milsa, if something is designated for a mace, we say that it becomes osur bahano. It can't be used by anyone else. Tanakama Savar, however, the Tanakama holds the Chazilei Tafis, the Loi Chazilei Loi Tafis, that which was fit for use for him, that which was needed for him, that we say was grabbed by the mess, that was considered to be have been set aside for the use of the mess, and that in fact will be Osir Bahano. But that which was not fit for use for him was the Meiser, it was that which was beyond the amount that was needed, that is never considered to have been something that was designated for the mace. The amount which was designated for the mace was only the amount that was needed for the mace. The meiser, that which is extra, is never considered to have been designated for the mace at all, and that's why it is taken by his yarshin. For Rabbi Meir, who says that it should be remained ad shiyovei eliyahu, no one can use it. Misatkele, he is misupik, he has a doubt, e tofis, eloi tofis, whether we say that the additional amount is in fact grabbed by the mess or not. Therefore, no one can touch it until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says what to do with it. We don't use it for the mace because the Yorshim say that they want to have it, and the Yorshim can't use it because perhaps it is considered to be muzman, it's considered to be designated for the use of the mace. For Rabbi Nosson, and Rabbi Nosson, that he holds the opposite sheet of the Tanakhama. He says that it's poshut, that it certainly is considered to be grabbed by the mess, designated for the mace, and Hilkach Yasa Dimus Al Kivr, therefore it can only be used to make an additional row of stones on the kevr of the mace and not be used by the Yorshim at all, because it definitely becomes Osir Bahano. So then Abaya, who says that Hazmona Milsa, will learn all three shitas here based on his shita. The question is only that the Tanakhama holds that since there is extra here, that was never considered to be designated for the mace. V'rova mitaras l'taimei, and Rava will explain all three shitas based on his halacha, that Hazmona Lav Milsa, l'kuli alma Hazmona Lav Milsa. Everyone holds that Hazmona Lav Milsa. And the basis for the Isser here is something else, since it was collected for the mace. We therefore should say that it should be used for the mace himself and not by the Yorshim. Not because of the Isser of Hazmona, but rather because that's what it was collected for. And there was a disgrace involved here in collecting this stock, or collecting this for the mace. Therefore, it should be used only for the mace. And the Gemara explains. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama holds, ki bazulei achuli mochel zilusei gabi Yorshim. Tanakama holds that in spite of the fact that he was disgraced in the collection of this stock for him, nonetheless he is moichel, he forgoes his disgrace, forgives his disgrace for the Yorshim. Since it's his own Yorshim, he therefore would forgive them and allow that they should inherit it and use it for themselves. That's the shita of the Tanakhama. For Rabbi Meir, misapkele imochel iloi mochel. Rabbi Meir is misupik, he's in doubt whether we say that this mace would allow it to be given to his Yorshim or not, since in fact there was a disgrace involved in collecting it for him. Therefore we say that no one should touch it. For Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson holds that it's poshut, that it's definite, that he does not forgo his disgrace, the disgrace that was involved in collecting it for him, and therefore it must be used for him himself. Since there was disgrace, and he's the one who received this disgrace by it being collected for his stucca, for the use of his burial, everything should be used for him. That way it should be used for the mace himself, either to make an additional row of stones on his kever, or to pour out wine in front of his mita. So, in other words, according to Rava, Hazmona Lav Milsa, the basis for the question here is whether we say that it should be used specifically for the mace, since he was disgraced by its collection, it should be used only for him, or whether we say that he allows it to be used by his Yorshim. Therefore, either way, we don't have any riot from this to Abaya, nor to Rava. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, this is a raya to Rava, Hoyu Oviv V'imoy Mizarkin Boy Kalim. If the Nifter's mother and father were throwing begodim, were throwing articles of clothing at his deathbed, is speaking about a mother and father whose child has died, and because of the great anguish, they are throwing many articles of clothing upon him to be buried with him. Mitzvah al ha'cherim l'hatzilun. There's a mitzvah for the others that are present to save these articles of clothing, because if they actually do land on the mess, they will become osur b'hano, and this is considered to be something very wasteful, and therefore it's a mitzvah for them to grab them before they reach the deathbed. So we see here that it helps Al-Kopanim if they grab it and catch it before it actually reaches the deathbed. According to Abaya, why is this so? Merely by them throwing it at, towards the mess, this is considered to be hazmana, and as Tosfos and the Ran point out, this is considered to be a maisa called, who is something of an action, they're actually throwing it towards the mess, so it's hazmana with the maisa, and therefore, according to Abaya, it should be authored even before it actually reaches the mess, so it can't be saved anymore once it's been thrown towards the mess. According to Rav, it's good, since it didn't yet serve the mess, because it didn't yet reach the mess, it can still be saved, because hazmana lav milsa. The Gemara answers, Hosam Mishum Mrarayhu. Over there, it's because it is done from their great bitterness, their great anguish, and therefore it's not done with a clear head, and it's not considered to be Hazmana, because they don't know completely what they're doing. If so, Hainu Diktoni Allah, Omar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. If so, then that which we learned on this, that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, Bamedvar Mamorim Shalanogo Bamita, that when is this said that they can still save it, is only if it didn't yet touch the Mita, Avalnogo Bamita Asurim, but if it already touched the Mita, if it touched the bed upon which the mess is lying, then they are awesome, and they can no longer be saved. If we say that this is done Mishum Rurayu, it's not considered to be a Hazmana, that even if it reached the Mita, it should be able to be saved, since they did not do it with a clear mind. Tirgum Ula will explain this Bamita Hanakveres Imai, that this is speaking about on the bed which is going to be buried with him. In other words, he's actually lying on the bed which is going to be taken to the burial itself. The michosi b'tachriche de hameis, that if that these begodim, these articles of clothing which are thrown there, once they touch this bed upon which he's lying, which is going to be taken to the burial, these begodim, these articles of clothing can be confused with his own shrouds, and therefore we can no longer allow them to be saved. Me'ikar adin en hochinami, they do not become osur, because since this is done machmas norayu, it's done because of their great anguish, this is not considered to be hazmon, and even when it reaches the bed, it should be mutter. The reason why it's osur once it reaches the bed is because it can be confused with tachrichim or osur bahanot me'ikar hadin, and therefore these two should no longer be saved and have to be buried with the mace. But before they reach the bed, since they are not to be confused with tachrichim, here even according to Abaya that has mona milsa, it will not be also because they do it mishum rorayu. Then use the Gemara Toshma, another proof. Kis she'asoy laniach by tefillin, a pouch, a case which he made to put tefillin inside it. Also laniach by mois, one is not allowed to put money inside it, to use it for holding money. He niach by tefillin, if it was merely used to put tefillin in, but it wasn't made for that purpose, giniach by mois, then one is allowed to put money in it. So this latter halacha is the halacha of Rav Chista, that merely by using it, if it hasn't been designated for that purpose, does not become osur. But the reisha, which says that if it was made for that purpose, it's osur, apparently is following the sheet of Abaya that has mona milsa. It appears that it's osur even before being used for that purpose. The Gemara answers, Ema asoy vihi niach by tefillin, osur laniach by mois, kid Rav Chista, that I will interpret that which this brisa says, that when it says if it was made for the purpose of using it for tefillin, it means, and it was actually used for that purpose. But that's when it becomes osur, which is like the shita of Rav Chista, and it's expressing the halakha of Rav Chista. So the ratio of the Bryce is saying that if it was made for that purpose, and it was used once for that purpose, it becomes osur. If it was merely used for that purpose, without actually being designated for the purpose, then it does not become osur. Toshma, the Gemara brings another proof, and the proof from this Bryce is conclusive. Omar Lu'uman, if he said to a craftsman, Aseli Tik Shel Sefer, a Nartik Shel Tefillin, make for me a case for a Sefer Torah, or a sheet for Tefillin, Ad Sheloi Nishtamish Behen Kodesh, Mutter Lishtamish Behen Choyl. Until he used it for Kodesh, he is still permitted to use it for Choyl, for something profane. Nishtamish Behen Kodesh, also Lishtamish Behen Choyl. Once he used it for Kodesh, then it becomes also, it becomes B'sham Shekdush, and it can no longer be used for Choyl. So it says explicitly in this price event that even though it was made for that purpose and it was designated for the purpose that the hazmana is lav milsa, until it was actually used for the purpose of kodesh, it does not become tashmishe kedusha. So this is a price explicitly like the shita of Rava and not like a baya. Says the Gemara Tanoihi. The Gemara says that this in fact is a machloikes tanoim. The Tanya we learned in a price, tzipon zov, this is concerning tefillin, tzipon zov, if he coated his tefillin in gold, oisha tola alehen or shobehem etzmeya, or he covered it with a skin of a non-kosher animal, psulis. The tefillin are posel. Another halacha says the brisa, or behema tahira ksheiros afalfi shali ibdon lishmon. If he made the bottom of the tefillin from the skin of a behema tahira, of a kosher animal, then the tefillin are kosher, even though he did not actually tan these skins and make them into leather, lishmon, for the sake of being used for tefillin. He took ordinary leather, which had already been tanned, which had already been processed, and he uses it for tefillin as long as it's from a behema tahira, it is kosher according to the Tanakhama. That even if he uses the hide of a behemoth tahira, it's also possible unless he actually did the tanning of these hides lishmon. It has to be done l'shem tefillin. So before it's actually used for the batim for tefillin, it has to be made lishmon. It has to be processed lishmon. The raw material has to be first be processed lishmon, so that it be, should be designated for the use of tefillin, and only then can it be used for tefillin. Rashi explains the Gemara how this machloikis depends on whether we say hazmona milsa or not. That according to the Tanakama, there is no halacha of ibu lishmon because the Tanakama holds that hazmona lav milsa, that an item cannot be designated for a specific use until it is actually used for that purpose. So therefore, there cannot be halacha of ibu lishmon, of processing it lishmon for the sake of tefillin, because in any case, it doesn't become a tashmishe kedush. It doesn't become actually designated for this purpose merely by processing it for that purpose. It wouldn't yet be considered to be something which is designated for the use of tefillin, because hazmona lav milsa. So therefore, there's no halacha of ibu lishmon. Rabban Shimon Gamliel, who holds that there's halacha of ibu lishmon, is because he holds that hazmona milsa. Therefore, if it is processed for the sake of tefillin, it becomes something which is designated for tefillin. That's why there's halacha of ibu lishmon. So that's the machloik. Tanakam will hold that hazmona lav milsa. Therefore, there's no halacha of ibu lishmon. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds that hazmona milsa, and that's why there's halacha of ibu lishmon, that it should be muzman, it should be designated even before it is used for the tefillin. Tosfos asks on this pshat that this wouldn't coincide with the halacha, because we pass on like Rava that has mana lav milsa, that an item is not considered to be designated until it's actually used for the purpose, and yet we pass on like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that we require ibu lishmon for the bottom of the tefillin. So Tosfos therefore says the opposite pshat. What the Gemara is saying, Tanoi, that this is a machloikis Tanoim, is the exact opposite, that the Tanakama holds that has mana milsa. That's why the Tanakama holds that ibu lishmon is not necessary. It's only necessary to designate it with some small maisa that it is for the sake of tefillin, and it is already considered to be lishmon. And therefore, the ibu lishmon, the actual processing lishmon, is not necessary because hazmona milsa. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds that hazmona lav milsa. Therefore, merely by designating it with a small maisa for that purpose would not be enough, and that's why it has to actually be processed lishmon so that it can be used for the tefillin. So to the contrary, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, who holds that hazmona lav milsa, ayin in the chidush Haran, who asks the kasha on this pshat of Tosfos, that if we say that Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds hazmona lav milsa, then how does the ibu lishmon even accomplish that it should be considered designated for the tefillin? Even though he actually processed it lishmon, still we should say that hazmona lav milsa is not considered designated for the tefillin, ayin shom. But al-kopanav, that's what Tosfos says, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel shita, that we require ibu lishmon, is based on the halacha that hazmona lav milsa. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Ravina l'Rava, Ravina says to Rava, upon hearing the machloikas between Rava and Abaya, whether hazmona milsa or not, and the case that they discussed was, ha'irig beged l'meis, someone who weaves a beged for the mace, and as we learned, this means after the person has already died, he's now weaving a beged for him to bury him in. And in this, there's a machlokes whether we say hazmona milsa or not, whether it immediately becomes osur. It only becomes osur, according to Rava, once it has been used for the mace. So Ravina commented to Rava, mi'ika duchta duramu be mace for orgi beged le mace. Is there a place where the mace is actually lying before them, and then they weave a beged for the mace? Is that covered a mace that after he dies, they begin weaving the beged? And therefore, you've been arguing about a case which is very difficult and does not exist. You should have argued about a case which is more plausible. Omar Lehi told him, in there is such a place, like the Mesim of Harpanya. Rashi explained that they were very poor, and only after they died, they made a quick collection to get together money to get them tachrichim, and then they would quickly weave flimsy tachrichim for them in which to bury them. So this is something which did take place. Says the Gemara, Dorash Mereimar, Mereimar Darshan, Hilchasa Kavose Dabaya. That halacha is like a baya that has mona milsa. For Rabbanan Amri, Hilchasa Kavose Darova. And the Rabbanan say that the halacha is like Rava that has mona lav milsa. And the Gemara concludes, the Hilchasa Kavose Darova. That the halacha is like Rava that has mona lav milsa. Designating something for a purpose, even if it is through a maisa, does not make it be considered yet tashmishim of that purpose. It's only when it is actually used for that purpose that it becomes awesome. So if we're speaking about a mace, it only becomes awesome once it actually serves the mace. If we're talking about a dovah shebikdusha, we will hold like the halacha of Rav Chista, that merely by designating it, it does not become awesome. Merely by using it, if it hasn't been designated for that purpose, it also does not become awesome. But if it has been designated and used for that purpose, that is when it becomes tashmish and kedusha and cannot be used for something which is chol. Now the Gemara goes into a different inyan. Ton Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Now this brisa is concerning a halacha of a meirid b'malchus. That means someone who rebels against a melech Yisrael. And we learn from a pasuk in Yehoshua, it says, Kol isha sher yamer espicha v'lo yishma estvarecha v'chol asher tzavenu yumot. That anyone who will revolt against that which you say, or will not listen to that which you tell him, for anything which you will command him to do, will be put to death. So this is a halacha of a meirid b'malchus, that the melech can have someone put to death if he acts in a rebellious way towards the melech. If he acts rebelliously towards him, if he doesn't listen to what he tells him to do, he can have him put to death. This is the din of a meirid b'malchus. This braisa says, Tan Rabbanan Harugi Malchus Nichsehen LeMelech, that those who are killed by the Melech Yisrael, their property goes to the Melech. It's not inherited by the Yorshim of the person who was put to death, but rather it's taken by the Melech. Harugi Bezdin Nichsehen LeYorshim, those who are killed by Bezdin for some aver of which there is a Chiyuv Misa, their property is inherited by the Yorshim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Harugi Malchus Nichsehen LeYorshim, that also Harugi Malchus, their possessions go over to the Yorshim and are not taken by the Melech. Omulei l'Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, they brought a proof to their Shita that the Harugei Malchus, that their property is actually taken by the Melech. Now this proof of the Chachamim is from a pasuk that was said b'nevuah to Eliyahu Anovi concerning Achav Melech Yisrael. Over there in Melachim Aleph, Kapitel Chaf Aleph, we are told that Achav coveted a kerem, a vineyard, which belonged to Novois HaYisraeli, which was next to the palace of Achav. And he asked it to sell it to him, and he refused. He complained to his wife, Izebel. Achav complained to his wife, Izebel, and Izebel told Achav that she will make sure that he receives the kerem. What she did was that she had two false witnesses testify that Novois was Yirech Elokim v'melech, that he had cursed the name of Hashem and the king, and that he was Mechuyiv Misa, and they had him killed. And then she actually told her husband, Achav the Melech, that Novois had been killed, and he went and he took possession of the kerem. So it says in the pasuk there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Eliyahu Novi, Hinei bekerem Novois asher yorad shom l'rishtoi. Behold, Achav is now in the vineyard which belonged to Novois. He's gone down to the vineyard to inherit it. And you should go down and tell him the nevuah to him that he, Izebel, and his entire family will be destroyed because of the averas that they have done, and particularly in this last avera of having Novois killed and taking away his kerem. Haratzachta v'gam yirash, to have you also murdered and also inherited. But Akoponim, it says that he has gone to the kerem of Novois to inherit it. As from Rashi, the word to inherit it, explains Rashi, we see that what he did had an outward appearance of legality. In other words, that once this person had been killed, it was based on false witnesses. Izebel had him framed and killed, but that once he was killed, he made it appear legal that he had a right to go and actually inherit and take possession of this field. So the Chachamim bring a proof that the reason why is because he was killed as Harugei Malchus. Since they had testified against him that he had cursed the king, he was a Meirid B'Malchus, and that's why he was killed, and that's why his property goes to the king, and that's why Achav was able to allow himself to appear as if he's doing something legal by going down and taking possession of his kerem. So the Chachamim say, this is a raya that Harugi Malchus is Nechseim LeMelech, otherwise it should have gone to those who inherit Novois, to his children. Omer Lehenser, Rabbi Yehuda told them, Ben Achi Oviv Hoya, that he was the son of the brother of his father. In other words, that Novois and Achav were first cousins, V'roi L'Yorshei Hoya, and therefore he was fit to inherit him if he doesn't have anyone closer to inherit him. So that's why it was L'Rishtoi. Once Novois was killed and he didn't have anyone closer to inherit it from him, Achav took it because of the ordinary din of Yerusha, because he was his cousin and there wasn't anyone closer to inherit it. So not because of the halacha of Harugi Malchus Nechsem LeMelech. Rabbi Yehuda says there is no such halacha. It goes to his Yorshim. The reason why Achav was able to take it was because he was his closest Yorish. They asked him, in fact, Novois had many sons, and they should have inherited his property. Rashi says he doesn't know where it says that he had many sons, but this is how it was. So how can you say that Achav took it because he was his closest relative? Omelin, Rabbi Yehuda told them, he had sons, but Achav had them also killed, that Novois and his sons were killed, and therefore Achav remained the closest relative, and therefore he was able to inherit his property. Shemar, as it says in the Pasuk, as it says later on, when in fact the family of Achav was destroyed, Imloyes demei Novois est mei bonov ra'isi, that if I have not seen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the blood of Novois and the blood of his children. So we see that he had his children killed as well, and that's why he was able to inherit it, but not because there's a halacha of Harugi Malchus Nechseyam LeMelech. The Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who say that he had sons, and that's on that they base their proof that he didn't take it because of Yerusha, rather because of Nichsei Harugei Malchus LeMelech, then why does it say that I have seen the blood of his sons? So who banim haru'iyin lotis mimenu? That's referring to the sons, the children which could have still been born from Novois. He didn't kill the children that were living. He only killed Novois himself. But it means that I have seen the blood of him and of his children who he could have still had later on. So Akoponim, he didn't kill the children that were living, and therefore, if we don't say that Harugei Malchus Nechseim LeMelech is should have been inherited by the children of Novois, by the living children of Novois, and rather say the Rabbanan that we see that Harugi Malchus LeMelech, and that's how Achav was able to make it appear legal that he goes in and takes the kerem of Novois once he was put to death. The Gemara says, Bishloim le mando omer nechseyan le melech. Bishloim, according to the mando omer, who says that the property of Harugi Malchus goes to the melech, according to the sheet of the Chachomim, and that's how they learned shot in that parsha. That's how Achav took the kerem. Hainu dechsiv, beirach Novois elukim v'melech. That's why it says in the parsha, that those two Anshei Bliavos, false witnesses, testified that Noves had cursed the name of Hashem and the king. That's why they also stressed that he had cursed the king, so that he should be Harugi Malchus and should be Nechosav Lemelech. Elo Lamandi Omar Nechsehen Liyarshin. According to the Mandi Omar, that his property goes to his Yorshim. And the reason why Achav was able to inherit his property was because he was the closest relative. He was the Yorish, Vomali Vemelech. Then why did those false witnesses have to add also that he cursed the king? It suffices to have him put to death by saying that he cursed the name of Hashem. He's a Megadif, and that would be enough to have him put to death. So the Gemara says, V'litaymech, and according to you, that you say that they wanted to have him put to death as a Meir of Malchus, and that's why they said that he cursed the king. Elohim Vomali, why do they have to say that he blasphemed the name of Hashem? It would have been enough if they would have said he cursed the king, he's a Meir of Malchus, and he would be put to death as a Meir of Malchus, and his property would be taken by Achav. Why do they have to say two things in any case? Elo Lafushi Rizcha, rather the reason why they said both things, that he both was a Megadith, that he cursed the name of Hashem, and he cursed the king, was Lafushi Rizcha to add on anger against him, so that they should be even more angry against him. That's why they didn't only say that he cursed the king, but rather they said also that he blasphemed the name of Hashem. Hochinami, according to the other Shita as well, that the point was not because he was a Rugi Malchus, the point was just to get him killed, and automatically Yaakov would Yarshin because he was the nearest Yairish. They could have said merely that he blasphemed the name of Hashem, but Lafushi Rizcha, it was also just to bring about more anger against him, that they mentioned also that he cursed the Melech. So Rashi explains that this was to bring about more anger on the part of the Dayanim, those who were judging him, so that they should carry through his conviction and make sure that he is killed. That's why they mentioned that he did both things. The Mashal says a different pshat, that it's Lafushe Rizcha, to bring about more anger on the part of the people. As it appears from the parsha there, the Dayanim were in on this. They knew that the whole thing was false anyway. But rather to bring anger on the part of the people, so that the people should not be too careful in checking out what had taken place here. Because if they would try, they would maybe be able to find out that it was false. Rather, he did it in such a way that these false witnesses came and testified that he had done two such terrible things. He had blasphemed the name of Hashem, and he had cursed the king, so that the people will be very angry at him, and they won't check into the matter too closely. We have a machlokes here between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Rabbanan, Haruge Malchus Nechseim Lemelech, and that's what's happening in the parsha of Achav, that he was put to death as a Meir B'Malchus because he cursed the Melech. In addition to cursing the name of Hashem, he also cursed the Melech. That's why Achav was able to go and take his Kerem and cloak this in legality, because he was a Haruge Malchus, and that's why he was able to take the Kerem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no such halacha that Harugi Malchus Nechseim Lemelech, it goes to his Yorshim, and the reason why Achav was able to make it appear legal in taking his Kerem was because he was the closest Yorish.